Let us pray. Great God, we come each week to this place seeking your wisdom and your comfort and your enlivening. And we ask that we experience those because of the words we hear or in spite of them. Amen. So we read today a story of adventure, the beginning of an adventure. The disciples said yes. A changed time for them, not just that the world around them was changing, because that was true, but because they were going to be the change. So today I want to ramble just a little bit about the spirit of adventure, and so I ask you to bear with me. It won't be long. I wasn't here last Sunday, and I decided to attend the services at St. Andrew's Wesley United Church, downtown Vancouver, to hear Dan Chambers preach, to meet some people at the Raspberry Tea, to participate in the placing of the ashes of Avril Banks in their memorial garden. And this is how my day began. Last Sunday, when Neil McRae was preaching here, I took a ride on the Canada Line right down to City Center, and I had a short adventure. I was sitting on my way, and I heard the girls behind me say they had a problem with the play that they were doing. The script was good. The story was fun. The music, they said, it was rocking. But they were bothered by the fact that one scene just wasn't working. Because it's hard to have a love scene when the people are all painted green, and the dialogue is a little stiff when trolls are the protagonists. I'm not kidding. The problem was the troll love scene. And this got my attention because it would take a master of invention to have as his intention that a love scene between trolls should be a believable conception. And if you still don't believe me, when you get home, Google Homestuck the Musical, which just ended, by the way. So that was the beginning of my day. And so for those of you who don't know, trolls take many forms in many cultures. Trolls usually are big, ugly, and dangerous, and sometimes green. In the movie Shrek and in some Japanese anime, trolls are big, ugly, and green, but sort of like us, trying to find love and meaning in the world. Now, most people wouldn't try to make a musical based on big, ugly, green creatures falling in love. In fact, I bet it seems bizarre to most of us. Yet these girls were only part of a group of about 25 people or so trying to turn a Japanese comic book into a musical. And none of them are Japanese. And normally, none of them are green. But they embraced the imagination of the idea, and they set off an adventure that morning on the Canada Line to a falling down building on the downtown east side, where they put that on. And their hair was dyed bright pink, and they still had smudges of green makeup on their necks from the day before, and people stared, and they didn't care. That was the beginning of my day. And then I went to high church service at St. Andrew's Wesley, where, by the way, the sermon alone was more than half an hour long, most of which was good. And then I went to the Raspberry Tea. And an older couple that I had met before asked me if my husband was coming, and I explained that the plan was that my husband would take the Canada Line to Olympic Station, have lunch at the Food Truck Festival, and continue across with the False Creek ferries, the little walk-on ferries, to meet me. And the woman said, "Wow, your husband is really adventurous. All the way from Richmond, on the Canada Line, and the ferry." Now, for us living in Richmond, the Canada Line may be our usual way of getting downtown. It is for me. And the real adventure would be driving there. Now, if you've never been on the ferry, you stand with a lot of people at a ferry stop, just like a bus stop, but by the water. And then you get in and you pay money, just like the bus. And it takes you to another stop, just like the bus. None of this really seems adventurous to me. It wasn't like he was going to dye his hair pink, paint himself green, and ride on the Canada Line to a play. But several things occurred to me as I was thinking about this. First, that we measure both distance and possibility by our own experience, not in miles, not even necessarily in time. And second, that the ability to imagine ourselves differently is the first step to a life filled with possibility. And third, it is vitally important to us as Christians and as Canadians and as people who seek to change the world for the better that we develop a habit of adventure. And I kind of stole that idea from Joe Gray, who came in and talked to me this week about small adventures. What a great idea. So we all have different ideas of what is scary, what's adventurous. So if you can't imagine yourself as the sort of person who takes the Canada Line or the SkyTrain, it seems very adventurous. It's not just that you can't imagine the train. It's about what you imagine of yourself. So in Canadian culture for generations, our identities, how we imagine ourselves, is tied to a car. Learning to drive is the sign of adulthood in our culture, and being able to afford a car is a sign of success. And being able to drive a luxury car or a sports car means something else. And riding on public transit defined you as not having those things. It doesn't mean that anymore. Riding transit to downtown Vancouver defines you differently. Perhaps you're concerned about the environment, or you're fit enough to actually walk from the station. How is it we define ourselves? I live and work here with people who took an airplane, maybe a boat, a train, a bus, and moved from Japan or Korea or Ireland or England, like my husband, and changed their whole lives. Moved thousands of miles, for some of those people, to a place where they speak a different language, and they commit to learning new things, new skills, changing how their children will live and grow and build a new vision of the future. Now that's an adventure. For some of us, for people new to Vancouver and to Canada, the adventure is part of everyday living. Sometimes exciting, often scary, often lonely, and often, I hope, fulfilling. For some of us who have become comfortable, we have to recultivate the spirit of adventure, the habit of adventure, and imagine ourselves as the adventurers. Am I the person who is willing to open a conversation with somebody different when I don't really know how and I'm a bit embarrassed? Am I the person who'll go for a walk in an area I've never been in before? Can I be the person who is used to being in control of the situation and sit back and just experience it? God, I have to tell you, that is really hard for me. The great heroes, the great adventurers, did several small things that made them adventurers. And the very first thing, I think, sometimes was they asked directions. I mean, think about that. They have to ask directions. They didn't assume they would be in control all the time. So I would ask you over these next days, I mean, it is the time of adventure. Let's be frank. It's summertime. It's the time when we're going to leave our homes, some of us, and go on long holidays or very short ones. Sometimes we're just going to go to the beach. But imagine yourself on an adventure. Now, for some of you, you go all over the world to Bangladesh and all these other places. But for some of us, The summer will be a time of small adventures. And from every single one of those, we can learn more about where we live and the people who live in it with us. Unlike the disciples, most of us are not going to be taking our lives in our hands when we do that. We don't even have to take our lives in our hands to admit that we're Christians here, usually. And yet people around the world have to do that every day. So I would ask that your prayer this week be that God would bless the spirit of adventure that dwells within us. And may God help us to learn from the children around us, to see ourselves in new ways, to set off with great expectations. May it be so. Amen.